So this morning, we're going to continue our series called Knowing the Holy Spirit. So we've been doing this for a few weeks now, and we're going to conclude this series tonight at 5:30. We're having worship in the Word right here tonight. It's going to be amen, yeah, go ahead. It's going to be a, we're going to slow down Sunday morning service, and we're just going to be in the presence of the Lord tonight. We're going to have time to pray for one another. We're going to pray for God to move us toward his calling and the things he has for us to do, that God would empower us. We're going to pray for our families. We're going to pray for whatever the needs are. And we're really going to focus in on what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And so during this series, we have really, the overarching idea has been just knowing the Holy Spirit. And we started with talking about the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not a cloud that floats in on a Sunday morning that you can't see. The Bible says that we can talk directly to the Holy Spirit. The Bible even gives him, it says that the Holy Spirit is a person, that we can call him, the Holy Spirit, him. And the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead. So we started there. And this morning, I really want to focus in on this one simple question. It's a simple question, and I think there's some simple answers in the Bible for us if we will just search them out, and that's what we're going to do this morning. The question is this: can we experience the Holy Spirit, or can we experience the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And for those in the room that never feel quite worthy of God doing anything in your life, this one's for you and me this morning. All right, that sometimes we get this idea that it's the good people, the big time Christians that get this, that God works in their life differently. And listen, God wants to work in all of our lives. So the simple answer to this question this morning, can we experience the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? The simple answer is yes. And we're going to spend a little bit of time sort of opening or the Bible and answering that question. So the book of Acts is the story of the early church. If you want to know what happened after Jesus was crucified, buried, rose from the dead, and ascended back to heaven, if you want to know what happened after that, the book of Acts is where you start. It's all about the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of men and women in their daily lives, all right, that he empowered them to go and do things that they were not humanly able to do. So it was the beginning of my story and your story. We are the church. We're here today in a building, and the building is not the church. You and I are the church, the body of Christ. So wherever you go, wherever Christians are found, that is the church. And so we are continuing that story from way back there in the book of Acts to today, all right? And it will continue on into the future. It all starts in the book of Acts. The believers in the early church were being empowered by the Holy Spirit to do things that they couldn't humanly do, all right? They were, starting in Acts chapter 1, Jesus was even telling us that we were all going to experience, if we wanted to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then we could have that. Now, this empowerment process shows up over and over and over in the book of Acts. So what does this experience look like? When the Holy Spirit empowers us, what does this look like? All right. So there are two phrases I want us to get. One is the word omnipresence. The other one is the word manifest presence. All right. Omnipresence just very simply means two different words, all and here, right? God is always here. God is everywhere, right? Omnipresence. And then there is the manifest presence of God. It's when God shows up and it's a little more personalized. So let's look at this. Omnipresence, the scripture I want to start with is Jeremiah 23:24. Says this: can anyone hide from me in a secret place? This is God saying it, right? Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I? And then he asks this rhetorical or this strategic question. It's not really a question. It's really a statement. You know, like when you say to your kids, is your room really clean? You know, you're not really asking. You're really saying, it's not really clean. So when he asks this question, it's just a rhetorical question. Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth? God said, am I not just everywhere? He was really saying, of course I'm everywhere and you know it. I just want you to answer the question. So the omnipresence of God is everywhere. Everywhere you go, God is with you. The Bible says you can go anywhere and he's going to be right there with you along the way. Now that doesn't mean God is this table and God is a chair and God is the carpet. That's not what it means. It means that God is with you everywhere you go. He is not all this stuff, all right? This is all created stuff. He is the creator. But he goes with us always. Now, then there's the manifest presence of God. Let's look at this scripture, Psalm 16:11. Many scriptures explain this. This one really kind of jumps out. You will show me the way of life. This is the psalmist talking. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. He said, you're going to grant me the joy of your presence. Now that word presence really means face. It means when you can see someone face to face. You know, when I was dating my wife, back then we didn't have the internet, all right? All right? I mean, we barely were outside the internet world, but that's not true. It was a long time before the internet and we were dating. And we would call each other and we would talk on the phone. And that was great. But she lived a couple of hours away and I wanted to see her. So 2 hours didn't bother me in the least. I'd get off work and I was headed over there. I wanted to see her beautiful face. I wanted to be in her presence. I knew she was there. She's in my heart all the time. I was thinking about her every minute of the day. I was trying to make more money to buy her a doggone ring. I mean, she was with me. I felt like she was with me all the time. I was sure thinking about her all the time, but I wanted to see her. I wanted to look at her face. And so when we understand that God is with us all the time, that he is truly with us everywhere we go. But there are those moments when he shows up face to face. It's the difference in saying God is everywhere and God is here. We all understand what it means when we say God is here, but what is the Bible he's teaching us about that? Let me give you one more analogy. Imagine you walk by a playground and you see one little boy out there playing on the playground. And you see his father sitting on the bench watching over him. You say, that father is there. He is present. But the same, you walk by tomorrow, same little boy playing on the slide and the swing. And his dad is not sitting on the bench over on the side. He's pushing the little boy on the swing. His presence is there. He was there yesterday. His presence was felt by the little boy. The little boy every now and then glances over. Daddy's still here. Daddy's still here. I'm okay. Daddy's still here. But the next day you walk by and dad's out there pushing him on the swing. Now his presence is there. It was there yesterday. He was present yesterday. He's present today. But we're going to call that the manifest presence of the Father. It was felt in a different way. It was more impactful. I know that God is here. I know that God is working. But there are moments in our life where we see God show up and his presence is felt and it impacts us on a deeper level. That's the presence of God we're talking about in the book of Acts, where God shows up more deeply. Now, there are lots of examples of this from the Bible, all the way back to, imagine Moses up on the mountain and he receives the Ten Commandments. It was the manifest presence of God. God was everywhere, you know, but when Moses went up there and God started speaking out of clouds and writing stuff on rocks, and he was like, he is here. This is kind of face-to-face sort of stuff going on right here. You move all the way to the New Testament. There's Jesus heals the blind man. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus knew. They told him days earlier that Lazarus was sick. And it feels like Jesus just purposely dragged his feet and waited for Lazarus to die. You know, and then he shows up at the tomb of Lazarus. And the Bible says Jesus wept at his tomb. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus, all wrapped up in grave clothes and steps out of this tomb. And the Bible says, Jesus looked at the guys around and said, hey, loose him and let him go. Unravel him. Get that stuff off of him. There's a live man in there. It was the presence of God. It was the manifest presence of God. When God showed up face to face, when God showed up in a way that was more impactful than just knowing God is here. Simon Peter walked on the water. We know all about that. He's looking at Jesus, and then he gets his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink, and Jesus reaches out, grabs his hand, pulls him up. He knew that Jesus was there, but the manifest presence of Jesus, he reached down face to face, pulled him up out of that water. So there are moments in our life where God wants to show up in a deeper way than just reminding us that he is on the bench. He wants to be deeply involved in our lives. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 4 shows us one of the times in the book of Acts where the manifest presence of God shows up. And everyone present, Acts 2 and 4, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So the Holy Spirit showed up in a very real, almost face-to-face way. Acts 10, verse 44 says this, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Now remember, God was already there, but now he's saying, and the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The manifest presence of God. God showed up again in a more impactful way. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speak in tongues and praising God. So there's this moment where the Holy Spirit just shows up, and this experience of being empowered by the Holy Spirit is one of those times when God shows up in his manifest presence. Is everybody with me still? Everybody with me? Just nod your head. All right, you're being real quiet. I don't know if you're learning something or if I've lost you, but just stay with me. All right. Now, what does the book of Acts call this experience? This experience of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. What is it? What does the book of Acts call it? Well, three different things that I know of that the Holy Spirit, this experience of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, God calls it three different things. Let's look at it. One is being poured out. The Holy Spirit is being poured out. Acts 10 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Okay, so the Holy Spirit had been poured out. And it's just imagery, right? Showing us what this looks like. And so here's the next thing that it is called. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All right, so we got poured out and we got filled. One more thing the Bible calls this experience. Number three is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and 5, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we got these three terms. We got poured out, we got filled, and we got baptized. So let's paint a little picture here. So we've got a glass sitting on the table here this morning. Just a regular, in my world, a sweet tea glass, right? Just a regular glass that you would use at dinner. Somebody walks up with a giant pitcher of ice cold water. They walk up and they, from way up here, they pour the water out slowly into the glass. It's being poured out. It's the same water. It's being poured out. And then the more water that is poured out, the glass starts to fill up little by little by little by little until it gets to the top. And we all know what happens because we get onto our kids every time they do it. Stop, stop. That's enough. That's enough. When it gets to the top, it starts to pour over the sides. And then if that glass was inside a bowl, a big bowl, it would be baptized. So it's poured out. Then it's filled up, and if it was sitting in another way, it'd be baptized. It's the same thing. The Holy Spirit is wanting to work in our lives and immerse us in his presence so that we don't just feel his presence when we're at church and we're around other believers, but he wants us to experience his presence when we're dealing with the boss who's a knucklehead. He wants us to feel his presence when the person that works next to us is being a jerk. He wants us to feel his presence when we get the doctor's report that we don't want. He wants us to feel His presence. He wants us to know that the Holy Spirit's been poured out, that we've been filled, and it's overflowing to the point that our whole life is immersed in His presence. He wants to work in us, but we got to cooperate. Some of us are that glass. We're like, whoop, 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 whoop. We keep moving. He's like, I'm up here. I'm just waiting on you. If you'll stop acting the fool, I'll help you a minute. I got it, but you got to slow down. We're waiting on God to chase us down, and that's not how God works. All right, we got to cooperate with Him. We got to let Him do the work in our lives. Sometimes two things get mixed up in this process. Water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism. Those are two completely different things in the Bible. And sometimes we get those mixed up. Because the word baptism is not a word you use in your everyday life. We don't use that word. You just don't. You use baptism when it's going to happen in church on a Sunday. When somebody says, I'm being baptized, we get it. But you don't say, all right, go get in the shower and get baptized. You don't say that. Now, my dad used to say that. When we were little and he was giving us a bath, he would say, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the goose and sock you to the bottom and turn you loose. All right. That was just silliness. All right. We get it. There's baptism and then there's baptism, right? There's water baptism and then there's Holy Spirit baptism. All right, let's look at this a little deeper. The New Testament gives us both of these. Jesus said, Acts 1 and 5, for John baptized with water. Did you get that? John, this is the cousin of Jesus, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now that's Jesus talking. Jesus made a very clear line, a delineation between the two. He said, John's going to baptize you in water. I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Then John the Baptist himself said this, I baptize you with water for repentance. When we get baptized in church, we're really saying, I have repented of my sins. I want my life to look different. The old man has been buried. New man has come to life. The Bible says that he transforms us. He turns us into something brand new. The Bible calls it being born again. So we repent of our old life and our old sins, and we say, God, forgive me. And as a symbol of what God is doing in our life, he asks us to be baptized. So the old man is buried. The new man is brought to life. That's why there's joy in baptism, okay? So I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So again, there's two different things. Even Paul talks about it. I just want to read part of this scripture. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? He's like, the old man is dead and you've been brought to life. And then later you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So there's two different things going on. When we give our hearts to Christ, it's the first work of grace in our life. When Jesus says, I want to work in your life, I want you to repent, I want to change you, I want to save you, I want to set you free, I want you to be born again, I want to transform you, all those words work. He said, when you accept me, I'm going to do all that in your life, and you can leave the old man in the past, and you can move forward into a brand new life. But then there's Holy Spirit baptism. We know what water baptism looks like. There's Holy Spirit baptism. It's when we say, Holy Spirit, I want you to work in my life. I need you to pour yourself out in my life. I want you to fill me up. I want you to baptize me. I want to be completely immersed in your spirit, in your presence every day so that I handle every situation the way you want me to and I make the impact that you've called me to make. There are times in our life where we forget that God wants to do more. We get so caught up in what's happening right now that we forget there's more that God has for us. Let me give you a little bit of a testimony. I was 17 years old, and I was trying to walk with God. I really wanted to walk with God. I really wanted God to show up in my life every single day. I remember reading the Bible even when I didn't understand it. I'm just like reading it. I just wanted to constantly consume God's word. But there came this point in my life where I was like, something's just, there's just It's just not there. Something's not working. And so then I went into this mode of trying to earn the blessings of God and the grace of God in my life. Now here's the bottom line. You cannot earn the blessings of God. God gives those freely. When you start trying to earn it, you cheapen it. It's like somebody saying, I made you a cake, and you're like, here, let me give you some money. Like, I didn't do it for money because you can't afford this cake, all right? This is made because I wanted to do something nice for you. So put your money in your pocket and quit it. You're insulting me. When we try to earn the grace of God, when we try to earn the blessings of God, it's insulting to what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus just loves you. He just cares about you. He has gifts and he has plans. And our job is just to move toward him. The Bible says, if we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. All right. So when I was doing this, I went into earn it mode. I'm going to earn it. I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to pray hard enough. I'm going to pray long enough. I'm going to read enough Bible that God, I'm going to tie God's hands and he's going to have to do something special in my life. Listen, here's what you need to know about God. You do not push him in a corner. All right. God does not operate with you making threats to him. Like I'm going to fast until God shows up. That's great to fast, but when you push God like that, he doesn't give in, okay? So I went into this kind of earn it mode, and I got to the point that I'm going to be honest with you, my spiritual life was miserable. There was no joy. It was just a bunch of hoops and hurdles to jump through. I lost that joy, but I continued to seek God. I wanted God to show up. And I'll tell you, for me, it was October 6, 1986. It's when I experienced the Holy Spirit on a whole new level. It was in a worship service. It was in an extended time of prayer where there was where most people had already gone home from church, and there was some people still left, and we were praying. And I can tell you, the moment that I first experienced the true manifest presence of God like I had never felt before. Now, I'm not telling you God spoke through the clouds and, you know, there's a vision, none of that. But something happened in me, and it goes directly back to the book of Acts, where we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, all right? When he shows up in a way that we cannot explain. Now watch this. The next week, I heard my dad talk. My dad is the godliest man I know, all right? I was always scared that God was going to be telling him stuff about me, you know, like I couldn't get in much trouble because they were tight. And so I'd hear him in there praying stuff. I'm like, oh man, how do you know about that? You know, that kind of weird stuff. And so I remember him saying a few days later, he said, Patrick's just different. And he wasn't even talking to me. He's talking to somebody else. And he said, he's got a boldness that he didn't have before. And completely, completely changed my life's direction. All right. But we are the ones who have to draw close to him. The Bible says he's at the door knocking, and we have to be willing to open the door and let him in. So it changed my life. Changed my life on that in one split second, changed my life. And it's just, we just said it's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now when God shows up in our lives this way, he baptizes us, right, in his Spirit, in his presence, to accomplish more than we could accomplish on our own. He wants to do more with your life and mine than we are capable of doing on our own. There will come a point in your life and mine when we get to the end of our natural abilities. We will get to the end of our natural talents. See, there are people in this room who you're just born talented, and we're all jealous of you. All right, we see you and we go, man, they can sing and they can do this and they can do that, and they're just talented. But here's the problem. When I rely on my talent, I will come to the end of my talent. I will get to the end of that. And the Holy Spirit empowers us, baptizes us, so that we are not reliant on what we can do and what we can accomplish, but we're relying on what he can do and what he can accomplish in our lives. So listen, if you're not interested in making an impact on this world for Christ, this is probably not for you. But if you say, I really want my life to matter for eternity, then this is where we need to lean in. We need to say, I want the Holy Spirit to work in my life like I've never been able to do without him. I want to trust him. I want him to work in my life. Now he tells us that we get saved, we come to Christ, but then God wants to do something different. Acts chapter 8 says this, verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. Now let's stop there. So the apostles in Jerusalem, this was the epicenter of the church, right? The upper room is where the Holy Spirit was poured out for the first time. And so we know that it all started in Jerusalem, but those people that were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they go out, and that day that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they led 3,000 people to Jesus. I mean, it wasn't like stuff happening years down the road. It's like immediately stuff is happening where people's lives are being changed. And so they started to have to build some structure in place. There was people that needed to be in charge, because when a movement like this is happening, things get out of control real quick, and things that are not godly are taught. And so there was a structure. It was a loose structure, but there were people in charge. And so Peter and John were two of those people. So the church hears, hey, there are people over in Samaria that have accepted Christ. So they sent Peter and John over there to check it out. And as soon as they arrived, verse 15, as soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers. Now let's stop there. Those people were already believers. And Peter and John show up. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers who were already on their way to heaven, already accepted Christ, new believers, to receive the Holy Spirit, this second work of God's grace. God wanted to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, verse 16, had not yet come upon any of them. These were believers, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a powerful moment for the church right here. They were leaving Jerusalem, and people are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And now we know there's a couple of billion Christians around the world. There's about 600 million people who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit around the world right now today, on every continent. People who believe in the gifts and the work and the baptism, the pouring out, the filling of the Holy Spirit. So this is not something new that we're talking about this morning. This is happening everywhere. That God wants to work in our lives. God wants to speak into our lives. God wants to empower us to accomplish more. So when God started with that first work of grace, let me give my heart to Christ. Let me surrender my life to Jesus. Let me be saved. I want to make sure. He said these people were already on their way to heaven. And then, he says, they prayed for them. They laid hands on them. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, can I just back up here and say this? There are, any time you are moving toward giving God more room to work in your life, when you're moving toward opening your heart and your life up to the work of God, there's going to be moments that are just a little bit frightening, because God will never lead you in a circle, all right? God's not interested in just repeating, you know, wash and rinse and repeat. That's not what he's about. He's taking you somewhere. He's accomplishing something. So every new step, every next step in our relationship with God is new territory. It's new ground, and we get a little nervous about it, all right? And so there are moments, the way we know, is this the direction God wants me to go, is we open up our Bible and we very simply say, does this, what I'm thinking the next step is, does this align with God's word? Does it line up with what God already said? You know, so when you are measuring to hang a picture, and I'm not the guy to hang pictures, all right? Every picture I hang is a little bit like this. I always bring, Jody always says, would you hang this picture for me? I'm like, oh, man, come on. Let me scrub toilets or something. I know it's not going to be just right, okay? So if you look behind the pictures in our house, sometimes there's like three nail holes on one side. Where you have to, you know, you just got to get it right. Now I can measure it from the ceiling. All right, here's, 36 and a half inches and mark it, and 36 and a half inches and mark it over here. And somehow it just doesn't work. So anyway, the point of that is you have a ruler, and if you know how to use it, if you know how to use the ruler, it's right every time. You can't say, well, that ruler was a little off today. Tape measure was just, something was wrong. It's never the tape measure. It's always the operator of the tape measure. So when God wants to work in our lives, it's never, the Bible's a little bit off on that one. The ruler's a little bit off on that one. No. It's the operator. It's the one reading it or not reading it. That's a little bit off because he gives us this standard. 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inches, 12 inches is a foot. 3 feet is a yard. We get it. We get it. We understand all that, right? So when we look at the Bible, we go, here's the truth. And now I can't just bend it to make it fit what I want. I've got to bend my life to fit to the ruler. So when God is speaking to us, we find peace in saying, okay, let me find out what the book says. Let me find out what the Bible says. It's not about what I think, what I'm afraid of, what I'm not afraid of, what I'm comfortable with, what I'm not comfortable with. What does the ruler say? What does the Bible say? And if I apply it, then I can take comfort and I can relax. And I can say, God's in charge. He's given me the standard. Now let me apply my life, all right, to that. So when we are looking at this experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it might put you out of your comfort zone just a little bit, all right? I kind of hope it does. I kind of hope so, because that means you're in new territory. You're moving in the right direction. That God is doing something. God is always about stretching you. He will never leave you the same. There's an old saying, God loves you just like you are, and he loves you too much to leave you like that. All right? He wants to work in our lives. So tonight, we're going to spend some time praying. And if you say, I believe God's got a next step for me in that, I'm ready. I want to make a bigger impact. I want to experience God on a whole new level. We're going to do that tonight. We're just going to pray. And the reason we're not doing it on a Sunday morning is because we need a little bit of time just to relax and just let the Holy Spirit do his thing, all right? We're going to worship. We're going to look at the Word again. And then we're just going to take some time to pray, all right? Now, here's also what you need to know. I don't believe God ever forces you to do anything. I believe God always gives you choices, okay? So you say, well, I'm not sure that's for me. I'm not sure that's for me. No guilt. There's no guilt. One step at a time, God's going to take you on this journey. All right? Nobody's saying you better or else, or you're a loser if you don't. None of that garbage. God's going to take you on this journey, and he's going to empower you. I believe he's going to pour his Spirit out. I believe he's going to fill you. I believe he's going to baptize you. I believe he's going to use you and me in greater ways than we ever could do on our own. All right? Okay, but we're all on a journey. And so we're going to let God do this. I used to say it this way. I've heard many old preachers say it. I'm not saying I'm an old preacher, but I heard old preachers that taught me this. They used to say, God is a gentleman. God is a gentleman. He's not interested in divorcing you. He will lead you through the door, all right? But he's not going to punch you in the face. And so tonight, we're just going to lean into God. But it starts, I'm going to ask the band to come on back. It starts with a relationship with God. And we say it like this around here. It's as easy as ABC. You have to admit that you've sinned. You got to own the sins, all right? Then you believe, you put your faith in Jesus, and then you confess him as Lord of your life. It's that simple. ABC, admit, believe, confess, start that relationship with God. Let God have the room to work in your life and see what he does. And I believe he's going to work. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, if you don't know him, the most important thing you can do today is start with a relationship with Christ, all right? Now, don't wait till you got it all figured out and your life is cleaned up and you're looking good. That's not the way it works, all right? Listen, my wife, if I go out and I mow the yard, and she doesn't say to me, thank goodness, go get a shower somewhere else and then come home. You're too dirty to live at this house. She's just glad I come home at night, right? Okay, and God is just glad that we come home. We may be dirty. We may be carrying some stuff in our lives. He just wants to invite us in. He just loves us right where we are, but he has a plan, the Bible says, to transform us. So we start by admitting we've sinned, believe in Jesus, and confess him as Lord. I want you to stand with me if you would.